Luke, we're going to be tracking Luke all the way through the summer term. And it comes from Luke chapter 10, and it's verses 1 through 11. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the labourers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs amidst into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. If anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the labourer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house, and whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm going to invite Susie back. She's going to lead us in our sermon and our prayers this morning.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we are here. You are here. We are here together. May you speak to our hearts and our minds. And may our spirits rejoice in you. Amen. Amen. Now, last week, Mark shared with us on the cost of following Jesus, the need to look forward and to not look back, but to focus on what Jesus is calling us to. And this reading we've got this morning follows straight on after that reading from last week. And our reading today is all about the calling, the mission of each of us who are called. For those who of us who profess to be Christians, this is what this reading is about. If we profess to be a Christian, our lifestyle is to imitate that of Christ, to follow his life and to style our own lives after his. Because being a Christian, it's not like belonging to the tennis club. You might play tennis, but actually how you behave the rest of the time is up to you. But as Christians, we exist to live as Jesus did. And this is exactly what Jesus taught his disciples to do in our reading today. So in Luke 10, Jesus tells his disciples to go and do exactly what he has been doing. And in the same way, so we are. Jesus sends each of us to share the love of Jesus, to share, to do what he did. And he sent the 72 disciples, his 72 followers, to the towns where he was going to go. He sent them to the people of Israel. He sent them to where they were, their community, their people. And in the same way, Jesus sends us, you and me, into our mission fields. Now, you might be sat there going, but where's mine? Well, where does Jesus call you to? He calls you to where you currently are. Where does he tell you to go tomorrow? Well, he tells you to go to where you are. You are called to be where you are when you aren't listening, when you aren't watching this service. Now, that might be being a grandparent. You might be doing childcare. It might be that you're in the office or in the classroom. It might be being a parent or a friend. That is where Jesus places us to share his love and to share who he is. Now, this reading gives us three things that Jesus tells his disciples to do when he sends them out. That's to pray, to do, and to tell. And we're going to go through those three. Right, to pray. He tells the disciples to enter the house where they are and say, peace to this house. So our job is to, when we're told to pray for the places we are in, to pray specifically, asking God to be in that place and pray for the things that we experience in that place. Ask Jesus to bring peace into your meetings, to bring peace into the toddler group, to bring peace when you're trying to get your child down off the climbing frame in the play area. Pray for each of your colleagues in your team. Pray for them by name. Pray for your granddaughter as you drop her off at nursery. It doesn't have to be complicated. Pray, Jesus, may you give Joe some confidence today to put his hand up if they're in the classroom. It doesn't have to be complicated, but Jesus tells us to pray for where we are. And there is something in this reading about the need to be persistent in prayer. It's not necessarily about praying once for where we are, but it's praying constantly, persistently for the places we are in. So for me, it is praying for my children as they go off to school, as they go off to nursery. It's for me to pray when I walk into my school, praying as I walk up to go and swipe my card in to say I'm here, to sign in the morning. It is praying for everybody who is going to walk up that same path I do to get into school. So Jesus tells us to pray. Peace to this house. Jesus then tells his disciples to do. Now, Jesus told his disciples that they were to do what he did. Now, what does Jesus' ministry look like? He loved the unloved. He reached out to the people on the fringes of society. He looked after the poor, both in terms of sort of the monetary poor, but also even more holistically poor. Care for the sad and those who have had a bad day. That may look like making a cup of tea for somebody before they ask. Maybe slowing down to look, to notice how someone might be feeling and responding to that. To show respect and care for everyone that we meet. Can people you're around during the day see Jesus's love through your actions? Now, if you're in the staff room and you're having a gossip about someone, that doesn't show the love of Christ. But if you're in the staff room and you're talking people up, you're giving them honour and respect when they don't necessarily dare to listen or hear you, does that show the love of God, the love of Jesus, to the rest of your colleagues? It may be for you, being like Jesus in your house is not always easy. Now, in my line of work, my telling a student off regularly comes with the response, "Oh, but miss, you're meant to be nice to people because you're a priest." And I often respond to them, "Yeah, Jesus also turned the tables and he challenged injustice." Being Christ-like and being Jesus in our day-to-day sometimes means we have to challenge the status quo. We have to challenge things that we see, that we, the injustice that we see. That is why, as Christians, we do things like food bank, and why we do the winter night shelter, and why there's the Grove, is because as Christians we are called to be light in those situations, but to challenge the injustice of our world. So we're to pray, we're to do, and then we are to tell. This is sometimes the bit that we all find really hard. Sharing our faith and relationship with Jesus it comes from a place of relationship with the person we're talking to. Because if somebody has seen you do something and they're seeing the way you act and see that it's different, they might then open up and want to know why you act and live differently. So I'm not, when I talk about telling people about our faith, I'm not talking about shouting on a street corner. But when people ask you, what did you do at the weekend? Do you tell them, I went to church? Or if somebody asked you, why do you go to church on a Sunday morning? Or why do you profess to be a Christian? What do you say? Do you shy away from acknowledging why you do it? Or do you tell them? Now, this doesn't have to be complicated. In 1 Peter 3:15, it says, be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have. So what is the story of Jesus in your life? Have you recently shared what Jesus means to you with someone? It may be that your story is that you've always known Jesus in your life. You've always gone to church and you've known the difference Jesus makes in your life. Or it might be that you're just getting to know who Jesus is. But that's your story, your testimony. And people, they might try to, but quite often people don't argue with your story, your testimony, because it's yours. It's your lived experience. And that is so powerful in sharing with people who Jesus is. So Jesus told his disciples to pray, to do, to tell. Jesus told his disciples to keep it simple and to trust him. Walking the Christian life, living a lifestyle like Christ, isn't always easy. We see that in the persecuted church. For them, being a Christian could result in them losing their lives. But if we have encountered Jesus, it transforms our lives. We can't help but have changed. And we in turn are told by Jesus to share that story with others. In Matthew 28, it says, go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son and the Holy Spirit. This is what, as Christians, we are called to do. We are called to share who Jesus is and the impact he's had in our lives. Now, my story of being a Christian really started, I would say, on the 15th of September 2001. It wasn't because I had a blinding revelation of who Jesus was. I grew up in a family where we went to church every Sunday. I was part of junior church. My mum was involved in running the Sunday school. Church and being Christian was part of my family's DNA. But on the 15th of September 2001, I made a decision that I wanted to live my life like Jesus. I heard someone tell their story of what Jesus had done in their lives, and I was like, I want my life to be like that. I want to see miracles happen. I want to see, to live a life that is different. I want to have amazing stories to tell of how Jesus has changed lives, how he's changed my life. Now, my story is that over the course of my Christian journey, I have grown in confidence and boldness. If you had met 15-year-old Suze, 15-year-old Suze was very shy and introverted. It took me most of the first 2 years of secondary school to tell my science teacher to stop calling me Susanna, and that actually I'd like to be known as Susie. I was so shy I wouldn't put my hand up. I was scared to do that. The prospect of doing what I'm doing now seemed a very long way away, and that did not seem possible. I might wear a clerical collar, But for me, it's a daily decision to live my life styled by Christ. I have to make that daily decision to live as Jesus lived. Sometimes in the middle of conversations, I have to catch myself and go, no, this is not how Jesus would choose me to live. So let us pray. I want you in your mind to visualize